Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and this is Nintendo World Report's Connectivity Podcast, episode 105, Europeans' Very Own. Got three segments on the show for you this week. First, myself, Zach, and Scott talk about the recent Nintendo Direct. Then Alex and Don go into their Pokemon X and Y reviews. Finally, Neil, Justin, and Jared give some impressions on games they recently played and a trip to Nintendo in New York City. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to our connectivity segment on the recent October 1st Nintendo Direct. I'm Mike Sklenz, and with me I've got Alex Kalafi.
Hey, everybody.
And Zach Miller.
I'm just here for the free punch and pie.
Did someone tell you there'd be punch and pie?
Someone told me there'd be punch and pie.
There's not any punch and pie. It's just glimmers of hope and piles of disappointment.
Yes, just what I always wanted from a Nintendo Direct.
We're just going to go through, yesterday, as of when we're recording this, yesterday's Nintendo Direct presentation from October 1st, unveiling some basic new information about a bunch of games, and that's pretty much it. Ironically, they did not mention at all the Wii U system update, even though it'd come out, like, just hours before this Nintendo Direct was broadcast.
So the weird thing about that is that they didn't actually really mention the update in the press conference thing. But they did mention it in the press release.
Yeah.
They must have recorded the video a couple days ago, and they weren't 100% sure if the update was going out or not.
Yeah.
I don't know. The first thing instead that they decided to talk about was we got a bunch of new information on Super Mario 3D World, which is really, really exciting because this game looks awesome.
It looks awesome now. When I played it at E3 and I saw the original reveal, it looked like they were sort of rushing another 3D Land and HD out so they could have some 3D Mario platformer out the window. And I'm not saying that that still isn't the case, but this at least looks like a game that I kind of want to play now rather than something I feel like I have to play.
Yeah, it looks way more expansive than what we'd been shown at E3. Like, it looks really super, super good now.
Yeah.
Zach, what did you think of it?
I don't care.
You don't care? Did you like 3D Land?
I did like 3D Land, but look, I mean, I just played 3D Land. And this looks like 3D Land with a cat suit and some other stuff. But I don't have four friends. Look, they keep pushing four-player Mario, but I don't have friends skilled enough at Mario to make that game fun for me.
Well, you didn't listen to Iwata. He said there'd be a robust single player experience.
I know
as well.
That, but there isn't every one of them, and it's too soon.
It seems to me like this game is more like they made a bunch of levels that could be played either single player or multiplayer. I don't think.
Well, yeah, sure.
They're focusing a lot on multiplayer, but I don't think the experience is going to be that different between the two modes.
It just feels like this could be on the 3DS. Maybe that's my problem with it.
Oh, it probably could be. Not graphically, but obviously gameplay-wise, sure, they could probably fit something, but based on the way the levels are designed, how they're more open now, I would imagine that things like the draw distance would probably be pretty terrible without a more robust system behind it.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It's the same game, but bigger, essentially, in every regard.
Yeah.
I mean, you can even get, what, 8 characters on screen, or I guess even more, because you can
more
get more
with
than
the
one.
Double cherry.
They have the double cherry. Double cherry. Interesting new power-up. You touch it, and
yeah, that was
kind of
cool.
Did you guys watch that that Nintendo Minute, like that little 8-minute demo of the new stuff in Mario?
That forced, painful to watch Nintendo.
Yeah,
it was
very markety speak. But I liked I don't know if I liked it, but it's very interesting that you can't really control like how close or far away the double characters are from each other. You kind of have to use the environment to manipulate the distance between the two of them. That seems weird.
I think this sort of peaks into another problem I'm having with Nintendo recently, and I don't know if this has always been a problem, but I'm noticing it lately, where with things like this, and especially Pokemon X and Y, Nintendo is showing a bit too much, and it's inching a little bit into spoiler territory, at least gameplay-wise.
I don't think there's any spoilers in a Mario game.
I think, like, the level design, I'd like that to be a surprise. That's what I think the spoiler... Yeah, they beat Bowser, that's fine.
We've seen, like, 4 real levels.
But we've seen a lot of different environments, which is probably most of the environments that there actually are to find. Now, that's obviously a guess. I have no idea. But, I mean, I think they're showing off probably a bit more than they should.
Well, they may be doing that because they have one less game to release this year now that Donkey Kong Country
I wanted Donkey Kong so bad.
Well, now you have to wait till February.
Maybe they're putting a few more months into it so they can make it look less like a Wii game.
It looks really good on a television, like an HD television.
Yeah.
I think it was CJ from Player One Podcast we were talking on Twitter the other day, and I think he had brought up the fact that maybe they're just pushing it to February because they have nothing to release in February.
Well,
maybe.
Yeah, they of course they won't. I mean, they're going to have something on 3DS. They'll probably push Mario Golf and maybe Yoshi's Island into that general territory. But for the Wii U, if they had something to put out, like even if they had X or Yarn Yoshi or something else like that, we would have known it was coming by now. And because we don't know what their first quarter looks like, that makes me think that outside of that, them releasing Wii Fit U properly and Donkey Kong Country Returns 2, I don't think they have anything.
Doesn't seem like it. They would have shown it at E3.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up Yarn Yoshi, because I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah.
Never talked about it since.
Yeah, it sounded like something that'd be coming soonish, but now, I mean, that might be a late 2014 game.
If at all.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't mention that there are going to be Mario and Luigi Wii remotes, and by saying that alone, I've spent more time talking about them than Nintendo has already.
I kind of want those, honestly. I
kind of like those. I want one.
A little pricey.
Isn't it just a full-price Wiimote?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
The Zelda one, I feel like they can't really top the golden Wii remote.
They can't. And there's a ice blue one coming with Mario and Sonic at the Sochi Olympic Games.
Yeah, no.
If you want another one. They did talk about some neat stuff on that game. They're going to have internet play, which is almost a shocker. And they'll let you play with anyone, not just your friends.
Yeah, I played that game at E3, and it plays exactly like you think a Mario and Sonic game would. Like, it's kind of competent in most respects, but you realize after a while that you're impressed by how not bad it is, and you don't realize the fact that it's not that good of a game.
It's just a collection of, Olympic-themed minigames, basically.
And mediocre Olympic-themed minigames at that.
Interesting thing is that they're going to have, some kind of Super Olympic relay, where it goes from, skiing to bobsledding to whatever the fuck, snowboarding. So they're going to have a super combined event. And then also, as you play online and earn medals, those medals go towards your nation's medal count. And you can see on a world map how many medals each players in every country have. That's kind of neat.
That's something.
It's a lot more than I'd expect. Because I would expect very little.
Yeah. Yep.
They talked about Wii Party U. Are either of you guys interested in Wii Party U coming out October 25th?
Nope.
Not enough to spend money on it, but I'm impressed that it looks good.
The games they chose to show off in this Nintendo Direct, the one where you put the gamepad on the ground and then you use the Wii remote to scoop up water from a stream and then move it over to the television and pour it into a vase. It's just the most boring looking thing I've ever seen.
And that's what they're advertising.
Yeah. So you can scoop water, or you can stand around the gamepad in a circle and move your hands around and walk around the gamepad, and that's some kind of dancing game.
Okay. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I want that right now.
There's a really super innovative game in which you and your friends take turns holding down all of the buttons on the controller. That one's going to be a lot of fun. These are real video games. I didn't make these. And then if you buy the retail version only, because you can't download plastic unless you have a 3D printer, if you buy the retail version, you get a horizontal stand for the gamepad, so you can put it on a TV and it won't wobble around while you're playing foosball with your friend on the gamepad.
Killer app right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
They should make a 3D printer version available of it. I should be able to download that and then take it to the university and get them to 3D print it for me.
How many 3D printers are easily available,
in the
world?
That's why I just said I'd go to the university. I mean, you can buy one for, $1,000 or something now. They're coming down in price every day.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I bought Kid Icarus for the stand, so I'm going to have to buy this one for the stand, too.
Did you buy it for the stand? You didn't care about, the game was second?
No, I'm joking.
Stand first.
Oh, wow, okay.
It turns out that the game is second. Because it sucks.
Oh, that's why you didn't like it.
No. The stand is useful.
Okay.
More news in the realm of Sonic. He will be playable in Smash Brothers once again.
Oh boy.
I hope Snake's back too.
I wonder. I don't know if Snake will come back. It seemed obvious to me that Sonic would be coming back.
Out of curiosity, while we're on the topic of Smash Bros, do either of you guys think that they are playing it dramatically safe and they're just trying to make a brawl that more people like?
Yes.
Yeah. That's fine. That's all they need to do. And they need to make the online play work.
I'm still interested to see their reason for making it on 3DS and Wii U.
Oh, so they could sell it to you twice.
Well, I understand that, but what's their excuse going to be?
So they could sell it to you twice. I don't think they've been doing it with Pokemon for years, Zach.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's see. We got some news on Pikmin. Pikmin has DLC mission levels now.
Sonic, by the way, not nearly as cool as Mega Man.
No, not as cool as Mega Man.
And Mega Man's more interesting, especially since the Sonic looks like it's repurposed from Brawl, but with now it has a Lost World stage.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll get to that game.
Oh, boy.
Next up is the Pikmin 3 DLC update released yesterday, or October 1st. So you get a free mission level, an extra treasure hunt mission level, and you can buy 4 more of them for $2, which is a crazy bargain. Like, I'm surprised that they charged that little for them. 50 cents a level? I would expect $5.
I don't know. I kind of wish the DLC was story-based. I didn't even play the mission mode that much.
I kind of like mission mode. It's very, like, if I just want to play a little bit of Pikmin, if I only have, like, 20 minutes to play the game, it's really great to play mission mode.
Yeah.
Do the same level, like, 2 or maybe 3 times.
Yeah. I mean, I get where you're coming from, and I get Nintendo's initiative to make DLC that isn't in any way required to enjoy the complete experience, and I totally respect that. It just doesn't appeal to me.
They're not Assassin's Creed-ing it.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the mission mode obviously is not going to appeal to everyone, but if it does, but you like it, $2 gets you 4 more levels. They also announced worldwide high scores are now in Pikmin. I guess the ones you were seeing before weren't quite all of them or something. It was kind of, they didn't really explain it well, because I think they over-explained the shit out of it. By the end of this, like, 2-minute segment on Pikmin high scores, I had almost no idea what the point of it was.
As long as the leaderboards don't hard lock my system like DuckTales.
Well, what's important now is that you now know that there's a guy out there who beat the entire first mission, which normally is allotted 7 minutes time. He beat it in like 3 minutes and 15 seconds or something, and got like literally 100% of it in under 3.5 minutes. So really, there's no point of you even trying.
I wonder what that looks like, though.
I want to see that. I want to see a game. I want to see a gameplay video of that guy just destroying that level. I would learn a lot from it, I bet. There was a bunch of third-party stuff. I don't know if any of this is that important. No, none of it's important.
Read it, and I'll tell you no.
Etrian Odyssey is out. Or as I like to call it, E-Train Odyssey, the real train simulator. And if you buy the first run of it, you get like a soundtrack and a book or some shit.
I watched the trailer for that game, and I didn't understand what was going on.
I think it's like is it a roguelike?
Yep, it's a it's a hardcore first person dungeon crawling RPG. Yep, that
sounds horrible.
It's for someone. It's for Guillaume.
It's for people who love that genre, and those people love the shit out of it. Like, good on them. There was a bunch of info on Just Dance 2014. You can now pretend to dance in your living room on the internet.
Nice.
Yeah. And if you weren't selfish enough, there is a new mode where when you play it, you get to stand in front of your friends as opposed to next to them.
Oh, boy.
To give you the real center of attention. Neil would probably fire me if I didn't mention that they talked about Skylander Swap Force. You can switch the tops and the bottoms of the toys now.
Yep.
Hooray. They're still cheaper than Disney Infinity, though, right?
Yep.
That's what matters.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
There you go. Lego Marvel Super Heroes looks, if you're a Lego fan, this one looks like it's going to be really fun.
Just like the other Lego games.
It's got Lego Hulk and Lego Asgard. So
is it going to be more like those episodic games like Batman, or is it going to be more like Lego City Undercover, which is amazing?
It's going to be more like the traditional Lego games, not Lego City Undercover.
Can't go back.
I think they're going to stick with that formula for the most part. Lego City Undercover was like a breath of fresh air, like Lego game that's way above all the other ones.
Yeah, it
is. Still need to play that game. Let's see. Arkham Origins Blackgate is coming out on October 25th. That's like the only thing they said about it.
Huh.
Sonic Lost World is out October 29th. It's got parkour.
Wow.
Yep.
It looks really good. I've not played a Sonic game in like probably over a decade, and I'm kind of interested in this
one. They've been pretty good lately.
It looks like Sonic Galaxy, basically.
When you say parkour, do you mean parkour like Assassin's Creed parkour?
I don't know. All I know is that the guy from Nintendo was really excited that there was parkour in this game. did you get a chance to play it at E3, Alex?
I did, and here's a surprise. The 3DS one, which would generally be considered the secondary or lesser version, is actually the better one. It has much tighter controls. The Wii one, I'm sure they might have fixed it to some degree, but the controls felt a lot looser. Like, it was kind of hard to feel complete control, which I guess is a problem I've had with other Sonic games. And also,
yeah, it's a Sonic thing.
To bring up draw distance, it was kind of bad in that game. And if you watch the trailers closely, you can actually see stuff pop in pretty frequently.
That's not good. Nice. The game that moves that quickly, you really need to be able to
see.
Yeah,
but it bothers me and more than most people I've noticed.
Assassin's Creed Black Flag is a game, and it's got more boats than, like, the 400 other games in this series.
I like the third one, kinda. I might play this one eventually.
They're good games. I wanted to play the third one, but I never got around to it.
I feel like it can't possibly be as good as 2. That's why I'm not playing it.
Yeah, but that setting. I like the setting a lot. The American Revolution.
It's got a good setting.
Yeah.
Let's see, Ace Attorney, I guess, does it come out at the end of the month, or is it available now? Because when I went on to download the demo, it looked like it was out now.
It is available October 20-something, and then the demo is out now. It looks like the demo that was at E3, but I am not sure, because I didn't want to play it since it's coming out in a few weeks, and I really want to play the full game.
I'm very, very excited about a demo for this game, because I've never played an Ace Attorney game, and I've heard good things about them, but it's the kind of game where I wouldn't want to buy it unless I knew I would like it in advance.
Yeah, it's also the fifth main one in, which, and it's a pretty story-heavy series. They say they're making it a lot friendlier for newcomers, but it is something to consider.
Well, if I like it, maybe I'll go back, but I'm going to try the demo first, because it's downloading right now.
Nice.
Nintendo was very excited to tell us that they cannot yet tell us about their new indie game deals that they've made, because they're going to Indiecade, like, soon.
I want to see.
But he was. I love that he was like, I cannot wait to tell you this news, but I'm going to wait and not tell you right now.
I'll be very interested to see where their plan with the indies, like when it's finally realized. I don't believe it's finally realized yet. How it stacks up with the PlayStation 4's We Love Indie huge campaign.
I think they're going to fall somewhere in between Microsoft and Sony in the long run.
I could see that.
I would like to see them be the number one indie developer, because I feel like if they were, that would be a huge asset for them. And it just seems right, because all the indie developers pretty much grew up playing Nintendo games.
Yeah, but Sony's putting in that legwork.
Yeah, they really are doing a lot more. So they're going to probably be ahead. We got news from Eric in the Treehouse. You can download Link's like opening shirt from Wind Waker. You can download it in Animal Crossing now, you can QR code it.
It was kind of crazy how they didn't have, like, oh, you can go to this link and open your Animal Crossing and use this QR code at this link. Instead, they recommended that you pause the Nintendo Direct at that section.
And just do it
Turn
right
on
there.
Your 3DS and do it right there.
Go on, we'll wait.
Well, you could go. They said, you know, come back later, watch it on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
More importantly, the dude, Eric, was wearing, like, Link's shirt. And I fucking want it.
I want that.
I thought they were
promising it really bad.
Like, as part of a bundle.
He was like, look, I'm wearing this shirt inspired by Wind Waker. You can download this shitty digital version of it, but I've got the real one. I want that shirt, Eric.
I would wear that out in public.
Yeah, I would wear that once a week, at least. Great shirt. Put it in
Club
Nintendo.
Gotta get orange
pants,
too.
I want that shirt. He showed off the Nintendo 2DS, just to remind us that it's coming out on the same day as Pokemon.
Yep.
I might buy one.
I might buy
one and use it for my Pokemons. It might be my Pokemon machine.
Why don't you just use the one you already have as your Pokemon machine?
Because I want a 2DS and I need a reason for it.
But you're not going to get to play those amazing looking battles in 3D.
Are they amazing looking in 3D,
well,
though?
Since people already have demo impressions, and I guess this wouldn't be spoiling it, the battles do look really, really incredible, and they look like the best things on 3DS. Actually, the embargo is going up by the time this goes up, so I can say that much.
Hooray! Street Pass Relay stations now, like, in just the very short time that they've been available, they've upgraded them, so you'll now get the last 6 people who passed at the station instead of just the last 1.
That's kind of nice.
Which is fantastic news. Like, Street Pass has been basically, like, useless unless you live in a major city in America, but now it's not.
Yeah.
Especially now. Especially now.
I just need to find places that are Nintendo zones. I know Best Buy is.
Best Buy, I think, like, every McDonald's is a Nintendo zone. Yeah, there's, like, a bunch. And a lot of them are, like, retail, like, Wi-Fi partners, kind of. So if this company has Wi-Fi at, like, every McDonald's, guess what? Now every McDonald's is a Nintendo zone.
Oh, cool.
We are finally, next year, getting a game that came out within, like, the first couple months of the 3DS launching in Japan, Bravely Default. And it has, like, the fucking worst voice acting.
Yeah, I noticed that immediately as I was watching the Nintendo Direct. It does not sound good.
No, I think there was one guy, I forget what his name was, was, like, the pretty boy-looking guy. His voice sounded all right, and the other 3 characters all sounded.
It's a good JRPG, though. I can overlook awful voice acting.
It looks like old-school Final Fantasy. Like, all the spell names were, like, Blizzara and stuff like that, and there was a giant crystal at the end, so it seemed to me like it's basically old-school Final Fantasy game.
It could be
good.
Could be. If you're into those games, I'm sure you'll probably love it. I mean, I'm sure you could also read, like, tons of reviews, because it's been out in Japan for years.
I also like that the sequel is called For the Sequel.
Well, isn't it, like, the update? It's, like, it's not actually the sequel, it's the battle system that's going to be in the sequel. So it's like,
oh, is that it?
So it's like the repurposed original game for when the sequel comes out. Like, they're introducing you to concepts that are in the sequel. I don't know if that's 100% true, but that's what I interpreted it as.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I think that's the version we're getting before the sequel.
Oh, well, that's good. At least we're getting, you know, the most current version of this year's old game. And then finally, we can get to the end of the Nintendo Direct where they gave us a good chunk of information on Link Between Worlds.
I'm looking forward to this game most out of all of them.
Why is that?
Well, because I like 2D Zelda games, and I like Link to the Past, and I like the idea that I can tackle the dungeons in theoretically any order, based on the fact that you can buy the major items from a store.
Rent them. I assume at some point in the game you'll probably gain access to all of them in your inventory, but it sounds like they'll probably be, he said a majority of the game, so it sounds like you'll probably go through like maybe 1, 2, or 3 dungeons at the beginning, like in order to set up the story, and then after that they're going to let you go to this shop and like grab an item, go to whatever dungeon you want, go back, get a different item, go to a different dungeon. That is kind of a huge deal when you think about it, because what was the last Zelda game where you could really tackle the dungeons out of order? I think it might have been the original.
Yeah, that's the impression I got when I saw this stuff. It looked like they were taking direct inspiration, where you can buy all the stuff in the shops, or I guess rent in this case, but still, same idea, and then tackle the dungeons in any order. Which sounds cool, but I'm also skeptical of that, because I actually really like finding new cool gear in dungeons,
I like finding the gear in the dungeon.
I hope that they actually have new gear in addition to the stuff you rent, but that might be a pipe dream.
There may be some, and I'm sure the dungeons seem like they are still going to be based around individual items. You just won't get that item in the dungeon. You'll get it right before you go to it.
Yeah,
we'll see. It's a huge deal for them to change this. Honestly, it seems like a minor thing to talk about, but it's like, this is, Awato was talking about how it's basically a core philosophy of Zelda games that you find the item in the dungeon and you use that item to solve a majority of the puzzles and probably beat the boss in that dungeon.
Right.
And they are totally changing that.
I want to see the story.
This would be like if they put Metroid in order and made it linear. Yeah. Basically doing the opposite.
So like Other M, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to see this.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, I'm excited to see the story conceit that turns Link into a hieroglyph.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I love the art style of this game. It's unlike
any
other.
Yeah, it does look good.
It does
look good. It seems like they really tried to take Link to the Past and make it look like a modern game.
It looks like they tried to take the production art from Link to the Past.
It's really interesting the way it looks. I'm very excited about this game. They still have not announced a special edition 3DS XLs, like Zelda edition.
It's going to happen.
Still crossing my fingers and hoping that it will happen, because I want 3DS, but I want it to be a Zelda one. Or an XL, specifically. The shop is owned by Ravio, or I guess, is it Ravio? Ravio. He is not Nabbit. He looks like Nabbit. He is not Nabbit. It is merely coincidence. Stop asking them about it.
It's the Zelda universe Nabbit.
Yeah, I mean, they've done that. You know, like, Marin in Ocarina of Time is Mario. What? I'm surprised, like...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
There, people are getting all up in arms about, like, this looks like Nabbit. Well, yeah, they've done this in, like, a lot of Zelda games.
Yeah.
It's gotta be a joke. That's how they do it. They're just joking around with the Mario guys, saying, like, you know that character you designed that looks totally stupid? We made him much cooler. Put him in our Zelda game. He looks really cool. He looks like a dude. Almost looks like a wizard wearing, like, a weird rabbit hood.
Yeah, he does.
Were you guys notice anything else cool about that, or anything you want to say about Zelda?
If they pull this off and they make it really easy to know which items you need for which dungeon, I'll be totally cool with this, or at least I'll give it a fair shot without being too judgmental. The thing I'm worried about is I don't want them to give me absolutely zero guidance like in the original Zelda.
Yes,
and correct. For me to have to wander around and, oh, now I need the boomerang? Well, I didn't have the boomerang when I entered, so now I'm going to have to go halfway back to the dungeon, go out of the dungeon, wander back to town, buy a boomerang, go back, and, oh, now I need the bombs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw in a screenshot, like, the outside of one of the dungeons seemed to have, like, these kind of, like, almost like hieroglyphs. Bright colored icons outside of it.
This is what you're gonna need.
I think those icons might correspond. Like, it kind of looked like almost like a bow and arrow icon. So I'm thinking maybe. Well, this is telling me if you're even gonna walk in here, you're gonna need the bow.
Okay, that's good.
I would assume if they're smart, it's the very first room in every dungeon is gonna require that dungeon's item. So you cannot get into the damn place without it.
I like that idea.
Or have the dungeon that requires the hammer to be walled off by those pegs.
Yeah, exactly. So you need the hammer to get past the pegs and even walk into the dungeon. That's what I would guess.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm honestly excited about this game.
Yep.
More so than any other game that they showed.
I think it's this or Super Mario 3D World is probably going to be my favorite Nintendo game of the year.
It's a good year for Zelda, by the way. We get Wind Waker and Link to the Past, too.
Got a good couple of years.
Yeah, Zelda's been good lately. Mario's kind of oversaturated, but Zelda's been chugging along at a good
pace. Wait a second. Alex, are you referencing Skyward Sword?
Skyward Sword's good, Zach. You need to play it.
It's a video game. Played it. Some people like it, some people don't. Some people have problems. I'm okay with all of them.
You made it to, like, it would be like if you were playing Wind Waker and you made it to Windfall Island. I think that's, like, kind of the equivalent of where you are in Skyward Sword. You're fucking nowhere. Play it.
Yeah,
it's really good.
I beat it.
Now that I can play my Wii games on the Wii gamepad, maybe I'll finish it.
Yeah, this wasn't talked about in the Direct, but I feel like we should talk about it. Well, we should cover one more thing. End of the Nintendo Direct, they gave us, like, maybe a minute of tease footage of a brand new Kirby game that looks like a traditional suck things up, get some superpowers, kill a bunch of cute-looking enemies Kirby game.
Yep. Return to Dreamland style, which I really like. That was the last Kirby game and one of the only ones I really loved.
I need to play that. Well, Mike, what about we're all heartbroken over the delay of Donkey Kong Country Returns 2.
I thought
Frozen
we talked
Banana
about that
Stand.
Earlier.
Oh, no, we
Who
didn't
cares?
On the show.
We mentioned it.
Briefly. I mean, we can talk about it a little. It's in February now.
We did talk about
it. We did talk about it.
Cut this out.
I will cut this out.
Yeah.
But yeah, a new Kirby game looks pretty... I mean, it looks like a Kirby game, and I like those I like those traditional Kirby games.
Yeah, they are
those
good.
Those are kind of the only Kirby games I like.
Yeah, the moving back and forth, like foreground and background, that new mechanic seems pretty cool.
Mutant Muds-esque, perhaps?
Yeah. Didn't Wario on the Virtual Boy do that, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the newer Shantae games have done that.
Well, it's a cool mechanic.
Little Big Planet kind of does it.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's not exactly a new mechanic.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like a very good Kirby game if you are into that traditional kind of Kirby game.
Yeah.
Mike, have you played Canvas Curse?
Yes, I really liked Canvas Curse.
Yeah, it's really good.
And then I did want to talk about the Wii U system update since it's, I guess, kind of related to this Nintendo Direct. It, like you said, Alex, it was in the press release, but they oddly didn't talk about it during the show at all.
Yeah.
They finally added a friends list icon to the bottom of the gamepad along with like the other five icons.
Which probably was the first time for so many people that they even knew they had a friends list.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet. It's still inconsistent because the six icons on the bottom of the gamepad screen are not the same six icons you get when you press the home button. The sixth icon is different. It's notifications on the gamepad screen and it's downloads on the home menu.
Yeah.
Why? Who the fuck knows? It should be very it's like no one over there has ever seen an iPhone or something. Like they just don't understand the basics of UI design, but whatever.
It's clunky in a weirdly Nintendo, somewhat charming
they
way.
It.
Yeah, but we do now have a friends list icon, and Miiverse does seem, loading in and out of it seems quite quicker to me.
That's true. And I like the little, these are the different
the clock
times
thing
around the
when
world.
It boots
clock.
Up. Yeah, that's pretty neat. I like that too.
So is it just Miiverse, though, that's faster? Out of curiosity, sorry for interrupting, but is it just Miiverse that is faster?
I don't know.
That's what I was
they
most
didn't
interested in.
Mention it.
Loading in and out of Wind Waker doesn't seem to be any faster.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I would think it's only would affect OS level stuff. When you load into the eShop now, you are given a little slot machine game to play for like 15 seconds.
Oh, yeah, what's that do? Have you ever won anything?
I don't
anything?
Think it does anything. I think it's just there to make you forget about how long the eShop is taking to load.
It does take a long time.
Yeah. Why couldn't they speed that up? I don't know, but maybe they have, but they've also given us a slot machine. But the biggest part of this update is that you can now play Wii mode on your gamepad only, but you cannot use the gamepad controls because the Wii can't recognize them.
Right.
So does the gamepad camera thing work as a sensor bar?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
It's got two little
Pikmin 3 on it.
Yeah, it's got two little LEDs, like infrared LEDs at the very. If you look in like that bar with the camera, there's kind of like a glossy part right in the middle, and that's the sensor bar portion.
That is excellent, because I have a really flat-screen TV that cannot use a Wii sensor bar. And, I mean, it's going to be a small screen, but I hope it works well. Has anyone tried it?
No,
I have not. I just can't see myself. Like right now I'm playing Silent Hill Shattered Memories, which is excellent, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't see myself putting the Wii gamepad down, you know, in front of me, and then kind of leaning way the heck back to use the remote as a flashlight.
Well, no, I think it's a good point, but I think it's also useful for people who don't have easy access to play the Wii, or Wii is a really huge hassle for the sensor bar reason. And now, like, if I absolutely need to play something, there's some kind of option.
It'll be more useful for playing virtual console games. Even though you can't play them on the gamepad, you could just set the Wii up and then hold the Wii remote.
That's a good point.
Better than
you'd
nothing,
have to keep,
I suppose.
You'd have to keep the Wii remote in a place where it's being sensed. You couldn't just put it on your lap.
If you were just going to play a virtual console game.
No, what I'm saying is like if you're playing virtual console or a Wii game on your TV, the second the Wii remote points away from the sensor bar in a way that so it's not lining up, it says, you know, we can't detect the Wii remote.
No, it doesn't. Because if you're playing Mario, you're holding the Wii remote sideways and the camera part's in your palm of your hand.
You're right.
It's never done, Zach.
Oh, I guess I'm worrying about nothing.
It would only do that if you were playing a game that needed the pointer, and if you looked away, you'd be like, you need the pointer, dumbass.
That's true. Okay, never mind.
I should write all like error messages that pop up on things, and it would just say like, "You need the pointer, dumbass." That was everything, I think, for the update. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to talk about for Nintendo Direct?
What
were your overall opinions on it?
It reminded me that they have games coming out that I've already seen.
Yeah, I was personally pleased that, even though, admittedly, I am not the hugest Kirby fan, I am happy that they announced something big and substantial, and it wasn't like a Nintendo Direct Mini where they announced a virtual console game And that was the big hurrah for the Nintendo Direct. And then everything else was just release date updates. Now, it was I was really disappointed that they delayed Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. But I'm glad that they tried to make it a real Nintendo Direct and they didn't just make it a press release that you have to watch.
Yeah, they gave us some solid info. I mean, it was pretty much bookended. Like, I didn't care about almost anything in between Mario and Zelda. But the news we got on those games was good, especially all the new stuff we learned about Mario. Like, we learned a lot about that game in this feature, and you should definitely go check out that. As awkward as it is, you should check out that, like, 8-minute Nintendo Minute video where they play completely through two of the levels. There's some of it looks amazing, like the one level where it's not a ghost house, but I guess they're underground and it plays a lot with the light and the shadow, and part of the game is played completely in silhouette. That looked so neat.
They're cribbing that from Donkey Kong Country Returns, yeah.
But I love it when they get more artistic with Mario. They kind of went through a phase where they wanted Mario games to like kind of have like realistic settings, especially Mario Sunshine. Like it's a real place and all the places you go to like feel like full environments, and they've kind of moved past that now to they've almost taken their using the original formula of just, we're just going to make levels and they can float in the middle of the sky. We don't care. They're just going to be really fun.
Yeah, but on that, it does seem a little bit like they're moving a little bit away from the, you start a level and then you go to the flag that was in the original 3D land. It seems like the levels are a little more open now.
Yeah, they definitely seem more open. There's still a flag at the end, though.
Yeah.
I like it. I think Mario's gotten into a very good place. And gun one way and come back, and now it's kind of somewhere in the middle, and it's perfect.
Yeah,
I still want my 2D hand drawn Rayman Origins esque Mario game
with better physics.
Yeah, with better physics. I mean Mario physics, but that's kind of a graphical presentation.
Yeah,
yeah.
At least some kind of hand drawn Mario. Like if they went back to basics, and I guess they made Mario, I guess 5 if you're getting real technical. Since World, I guess, was considered 4 in Japan. But, like, really back-to-basics Mario with a few power-ups, and it's still 2D, but they upgrade some things, which I guess New Super Mario Bros. Was in some respects, but I would like them to go even more basic than that, even if it's a one-time thing.
Yeah.
I like exactly where it is now, where it's kind of a modern interpretation of the classic style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's wonderful. But now we're getting off topic, and we shouldn't do that. So if you guys don't have anything else to say about Nintendo Direct, I guess, well, do you?
No, I'm all set.
Okay, well, Zach?
Give me Mario Sunshine HD.
Yeah.
Yeah. And give me that Zelda shirt. I want it.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us. Again, this is Alex and Zach. I'm Mike, and I guess we'll catch you in the next segment.
Bye, guys.
Yep. Bye.
Adios.
Alex Kalafi here, and with me this week to talk about Pokemon X and Y is European's very own Don Koopman.
You struggled there a bit.
You know what? I just kept going with it. I realized that I could have said Europe, but
you could just have called me Euro Trash and be done with it.
I was too proud to go back, Don.
Aww.
So, we both reviewed Pokemon X and Y. I reviewed Pokemon X. Don reviewed Pokemon Y.
Yes.
By the time you hear this, you will know that we both gave the game an 8, but for different reasons. And
yeah,
throughout the next half hour or so, you should hear those reasons.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I was interested in knowing what your first impressions are, Don.
So my initial impression, so I started the game, I chose Fennekin as my starter because I like foxes for some reason. Don't question me why. I like the full Pixel original generation, so it's like Firefoxes are something like a thing. I use Firefox as my browser, so hey. So I chose Fennekin. I went on my trip, played for like the first few hours and quickly went to the first gym. Was easy, of course, because it was a bug gym. So for me, it was like easy to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I completed the gym. It said, "So you're not gonna have Pokemon up to level 30." And this is when a first like alarm bell started ringing in my ears. Like, well,
didn't that happen at some points before? Like, I remember early on. Gym badges allowed you to trade Pokemon that were significantly higher level than the ones you have now. Like, I think that's been around since the beginning.
Yeah, but it's never been like directly up to level 30.
Okay.
So it has always been like smaller steps along the way, but never like a huge step directly on the first badge. Hey, you can have Pokemon up to level 30 now. It's like, huh? Okay, that seems a bit. From previous games. I said, okay, let's keep going. So I went to the big city, which is Lumines City? Lumines?
Mm-hmm.
And rocked there around for a bit. Got like also a Kanto starter, which is like a good thing. Picked up some other Pokemon along the way, like Pikachu. And that's another thing. There are a lot of Pokemon from previous generations in the grass and other fields and places. Which I don't really mind. I think you had a bigger problem with that, but we get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
And then, like, I felt that the gap between, like, the first and second gym were gigantic.
Yes, it was, like, the first gym was normal, like, 12 to 15 type thing. And then by the second gym, I think you were up to, like, level 30 Pokemon that you were up against.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, I was very close to level 13. I was kind of worried, actually. That was like, huh, is everything going to be aligned in the end? My Pokemon are always up to the cap already. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, it has become very easier because of a new item called Experience Share.
Yeah, well, I think it's a repurposed old item. Like, it's made it... Well, they've sort of turned it into the easy mode.
Yes, but it has more significant more value in this game than in the previous installments, really.
Yep.
Which helped me a lot because I like to have my games a bit more streamlined. Because I don't always have the time to finish like gigantic games, but when they are a bit more streamlined, I find myself having more fun. So I was like, yeah, this is great, but towards almost coming towards that gap, I was like, get on with it already. My Pokemon are always up to the level cap. And then, well, finally that gym happened, got my second badge. And after that, it started progressing as a regular Pokemon game again.
Yeah, it had very weird pacing, specifically at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it went right back to normal at the end. Like, you still fight the evil team at around the same points that you did in previous games.
Mm-hmm.
You still do the same stuff you did in previous Pokemon games. It's not bad. I mean, it's still a great game. But it was surprising how it went from this new crazy idea with the EXP share and much more significant leveling progression between badges, and then it just turned into a normal Pokemon game.
Yeah, because after that level 30 gap, it just raises every single time like 10 levels.
Yeah.
So that was a weird case in that example. But yeah, so the new team, like Team Flare, I didn't really like, I will be honest, I didn't really like Pokemon Black and White, especially with like N and Team Plasma. I felt that just were like the Pokemon version of Peter.
I thought it was interesting though how they twisted at the end, how they're like, oh, they're finally going to do this thing where Pokemon deserve to be free. They can't have trainers. But then they twist it at the end and they're like, no, we're just an evil team. We're fucking with you.
I find the story, like, with Team Flare, we can't talk about it much, sadly. Mm-hmm. I felt it was less hokey than Pokemon Black and White.
I think it still did similar things, where it took a semi-mature theme and then brought it down to a level anyone can appreciate. So, for my first impressions, I chose Froakie. Mm-hmm. And I think I had a lot of the same impressions you did. I think quickly I want to go into explaining how the EXP stuff works. So that I think that's in my review. So basically, in previous games, as you know, when two Pokemon enter battle and they're fighting against the same Pokemon, the potential experience points they earn would be cut in like half.
Yeah.
It's divided by the amount of Pokemon who participate. Mm-hmm. In this game, if you send out a Pokemon and then you switch it and then you fight the same Pokemon with a different one, they both get the full experience points, which is very interesting. And like I checked it, it's not even like lessened a little. It's the exact same full bounty of experience points.
Yeah.
And the way this EXP share works is, whenever you beat a Pokemon and you get experience points and you have this EXP share turned on, every other Pokemon gets a percentage of the whole. I think it's around half.
Hmm.
And then the Pokemon who actually fought in battle still gets the full experience points without losing any.
Nice.
It's very interesting, because I was a little bummed out at first that they added this easy mode, but I was much more okay with it when I realized that this is a significantly more challenging Pokemon game than any of the recent ones since, I would say, around Soul Silver.
The thing is, I didn't really had many struggles. I think I struggled a bit towards the end, but up to, like, the Gem and Luminous City, I didn't have any issues whatsoever.
Did you black out once? Because I did, like, 3 or 4 times over the whole game.
I think I black out twice.
Okay. Which is still more than I can say about Black and White and Black 2 and White 2.
Yeah,
maybe
fair
I blacked
enough.
Out once in between those two games, but those were especially easy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The other first impression I wanted to talk about is slightly getting into our next topic, which is the setting of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the setting of the game is extremely interesting because, like, Unova was the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The previous generations were parts of Japan. And, like, in Black and White, yeah, it kind of felt like America in some spots. And in the previous games, yeah, I can see how they're going for
well,
Japanese
with Black and White, there was also a lot of bridge porn.
That's 100% true. So Japanese, like, you can kind of see the inspiration there in the early generations. But in X and Y, they go full French with this one. They do some other European inspiration. But, I mean, the trainer names and even the Pokemon names feel like they were made in France.
Mm-hmm.
And people do casually drop French words into.
I think even
the
professor does that. Say more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was extremely interesting. That it, I think, for the first time, used a setting that felt like a real place.
Yeah. The thing is, Luminous City really feels also like a European city in my regard. Like, because you have always this front and center piece, which was in France, has always been the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And around that, you have, like, these smaller parts, which is, they perfectly replicate, like, how a European city feels.
Yeah, and they also have cafes at, like, every single corner.
Yeah, that's an extremely French thing.
Yeah, I thought it was it was a cool touch, though.
Yeah.
I think before we get into gameplay, one last thing I wanted to ask was, since this game is interesting in that it allows you to pick from, like, 7 different languages, I was wondering which one you picked.
I always pick English. I could have taken the option and went with the bullet and taken Japanese, but I was like, or German, because I can also speak German.
Mm-hmm.
But I said from no, I'm for the sake of the viewer, I'm going to play in English.
Okay. Obviously, I only know one language, so I did English too.
Yeah, I could have chosen another language, of course, but it's like, just for the sake of having a steam of references, it's better to play it in English for now.
It's so great that they do that, though, because it reminds me a lot of really old, like, Game Boy Advance, and I think before that games, mm-hmm. when a lot of games would actually feature multiple regions on the cart, which was really cool.
Yeah, I think the original Tokitori on Game Boy Color even had Japanese also on the cart.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, moving on, the big thing about a new Pokemon game is what changed in the gameplay. Mm-hmm. So, starting off, obviously this is 100% a Pokemon game.
Yeah.
You still get the badges, you still fight the evil team, you still do the Elite Four, you still, it's still an RPG about abusing elemental weaknesses. But there were a few interesting things this time around. There were new battle types. There were horde encounters, which are encounters where you fight 5 low-leveled wild Pokemon at once, which is fine.
Now, here's the thing about horde battles, and we'll get into the other type a little bit later. I didn't care for them. I was like, this feels like the most stupid thing they've ever done. It's like battling these 5 like low-leveled creatures is more of an annoyance than it is fun.
The same criticism carries over, in my opinion, to the other battle type, which is sky battles, which are completely optional battles where you can go to places of elevation and agree to fight a sky trainer who has all either flying type Pokemon who can fly, which is something I have to specify because some Pokemon cannot, and then Pokemon with abilities like levitate, like Haunter, who can float in the air. And I didn't actually do any of these. I beat the game.
I did 2 of them, and I was like, no, I don't want to do these anymore. Because I have to always had 1 or 2 on my team. I made a few changes along the way, but not many. But it was like, I really don't care for these.
That's the big problem with this, and I think it's the big problem that Black and White had with rotation battles and triple battles. Where, when they were introduced, there were, what, like 1 or 2 in the game total?
Mm-hmm.
And then in this one, they're completely optional, and they're not even that great. They're pushed off to the side.
Yeah.
Quickly speaking of which, I don't know if you noticed this, but I thought it was extremely interesting that outside of very specific situations, there are no triple battles or rotation battles to be seen. It's all double and single.
Yep. I kind of feel sad in the perspective of rotation battle, because it was at the time it was such a neat idea.
Yeah.
But seeing it completely gone almost is like, man, that is a bit of a bummer, because it is a better idea than the horde and than sky battles. If you look at it from a bot perspective, really.
Yeah, definitely. And then those were kind of dull, but I liked the other 2 big changes to the new games.
I did too.
Which are the introduction of Mega Evolutions and the Fairy type.
Yes.
First off, Mega Evolutions are in-battle evolutions that take place in Pokemon who are already considered to be fully evolved, like Venusaur and Charizard and a bunch of other ones.
Yes.
And they only take place during battle. So you activate it, you fight in the battle, and then it goes back to normal at the end of the battle.
But have to be said that you can only use this ability once, even if you have multiple Pokemon who can do it.
Yep. So even if all of them have their specific held item, which is how it works, mm-hmm. once you activate one, you can't even deactivate it and activate a new one. You only get one for the whole battle.
Yep.
Which I really love, because it allows them to add a new layer of strategy. And it allows them to take some otherwise not that interesting Pokemon and make them interesting, but it doesn't break the balance that Game Freak has been trying to achieve for so many years.
Definitely. I think the thing is with Mega Evolutions, I just like how they look. I think they're freaking amazing.
There are so many that I want to talk about that haven't been announced yet.
Yeah,
I think the coolest ones are the ones who haven't been announced.
That kind of eats me up inside, because I think this uncovered like some recent ones that are not on the list of which we can talk about. But they are so amazing. They are so really good. But even the ones that we can talk about, I mean, I have Mega Lucario and Mega Venusaur. I freaking love those. I feel that they add like this extra layer of strategy, and they look flipping awesome.
I think one of the things I'm bummed out a little though by is that I chose Venusaur because I always choose Bulbasaur, and I don't regret that decision, but I do regret it a little bit because I didn't choose Charizard, and I have X version, which means I found out about Mega Charizard X at the same time the rest of the world did.
Yeah,
pissed me off just a little.
For me, it was also a bit of a pissy situation because I was like, really, I was already with Fennekin, so I didn't want to choose like another fire starter.
Yeah.
So I chose Bulbasaur because that's what I felt most satisfied by, and it was like, hey, Bulbapedia of that website. It's like all these Pokemon references in my head. Okay, I'm gonna choose Bulbasaur then. And then I saw like the evolutions of Charizard. I was like, that looked like fun. Maybe when I get the other version, I will try that.
Well, the reason why I don't regret choosing Bulbasaur ties directly into our next point, which is Fairy-type Pokemon.
Hmm.
Fairy-type is a new type, which seems like it was designed for two purposes.
Yes.
It was designed to be something to be strong against Dragon, and it was designed for a couple of types to have something new to be strong against, like Poison, and maybe Steel, but I know at the very least Poison is the big one.
Yes.
So Bulbasaur, when I chose that, I just chose it because I already had a water type, which was Froakie's final evolution.
Mm-hmm.
I already had a fire type, which was Pyroar, which has been announced.
Mm-hmm.
And then I needed a grass type. And Venusaur fit in really well, especially when I realized that his poison moves took out fairy types extremely easily, which made me very happy. Not only because I had something that could fight against the new type, but also that the fairy type fits in so snug to the type balance already.
Yeah.
It feels like it belongs there, and it feels like it balances everything out properly. And that's not only in part because of what they chose it to be strong against and weak against, but also because mm-hmm. they populate it with a lot of fairy types, including a lot of new ones we don't know about yet officially, and a lot of old ones that we don't know about yet officially.
I think Meryl's a fairy type as well, and I have an Azumarill now, which is a nice combination of a fairy and a water type. So,
yeah, the game does this really cool thing where some of the fairy types who are old Pokemon reintroduced as fairy types are Pokemon that didn't get a lot of attention before,
mm-hmm.
but now they have a little bit of new life breathed into them. And I'm specifically thinking of one Generation 2 Pokemon that I don't know if I can say the name of. But you know the exact one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's such a forgotten Pokemon that them reintroducing it as fairy almost makes it a new Pokemon.
Greetings, podcast listeners. This is Debbie Gluesban, co-founder and senior event organizer of Street Pass Long Island. If you live in the New York metro area and you're excited for New York Comic Con at the Javits Center, we invite you to a very special panel about Street Pass groups and Pokemon X and Pokemon Y on Saturday, October 12th from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. in room 1A10. Join us with Street Pass NYC, Pokemon DS NYC, and the official Castalia Pokemon League as we give a history on how Pokemon games have driven the innovation in Nintendo handheld gaming and how Pokemon X and Pokemon Y are going to push the Nintendo 3DS and Street Pass to a whole new level. In addition, we will also have awesome Nintendo and Pokemon prizes to raffle out after our Q&A that you can only get at our presentation. Make sure to bookmark our panel, Nintendo Community, Street Pass, Pokemon, and Beyond at www.newyorkcomiccon.com. See you there!
Regardless of any minor or major complaints we'll have throughout any of our talk about these games, I love both of these new features.
Mm-hmm.
The one other one I love that is also new to X and Y
mm-hmm.
is the updates in how characters move. It used to be that characters moved in four directions, up, down, left, right. It was on a clear grid, and everything worked perfectly in the means of them trying to make it easy to calculate wild Pokemon and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since we're on 3DS, they have new types of movement. Now you can move in at least 8 directions, though in some situations you can move in 16,
mm-hmm.
or with free movement. And then they also introduce the rollerblades, which are a new mechanic of getting around you automatically put them on when you use the circle pad.
Yes.
And it allows free movement and pretty fast movement that's faster than running, but not quite bicycle level, throughout almost the entire map. Mm. And I really like these new updates.
I really like them too. I think the thing I like the most is, like, when you use the circle pad, you have this free movement of the rollerblades, but if you don't really like that and think it's a bit clunky, you can still, like, switch over easily to the D-pad and then walk about more easily and then run with the B button.
Mm.
So you have, there's a choice for you there. You can use a bicycle, you can use the rollerblades. It's all freely in the way that you want to play. Which I like that feature. I like that you have the option of going as fast and the way that you want to go.
If I had one tiny, tiny complaint, though, mm-hmm. I wish the rollerblades had some kind of option to not be triggered automatically with the circle pad, because I don't want to move around with the D-pad on the 3DS, and sometimes I do just feel like running normally. So that's one problem, how the rollerblades are automatically activated unless you walk with the D-pad.
Mm.
And lastly, the new gameplay things we want to talk about are Super Training and Pokemon and Me.
Yes.
Super Training is this new thing that allows you to improve and track the hidden values. I believe it's IV. It's either IVs or EVs. It's one of those hidden things that are in the stats of Pokemon.
Yes.
But now you can track them, and now you can boost them through these mini games, which task you with throwing balls.
It's pretty much you are in a European football stadium, not American football, European football.
Mm-hmm.
So like what you guys call soccer.
Yep.
But that was, which is a stupid name. Anyway. and you shoot them at this gigantic Pokemon balloon, and that will raise your stats.
Yep. And I thought it was okay. I didn't really use it until after I beat the game for the purpose of review, but I think there are people who can get a lot of good use out of it.
I barely used it, but it was fine enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which?
The other thing, though, can we go directly into that Pokemon and Me?
Yep.
Which I used more because of evolution reasons. Because I had to, for the friendship levels, you have to use the friendship for evolving Azurill to Marill. And I use that a lot to get that Pokemon evolved. But I used it for the sole purpose of, for example, that. When I get Pokemon more friendly towards me. You really have to use that in some evolutions. In the previous games, this was used in a friendship stat, which I didn't really enjoy. But I found this way more fun and way more interactive, really.
So does this tie directly into friendship, or does it have its own stat?
No, it ties in directly to your friendship meter.
Okay, good. Yeah,
this is how you now evolve, like, friendship-based evolutions.
Okay, that makes so much sense. All right. So, and for Pokemon and Me, I barely used it until after the credits either, because I wasn't trying to evolve anything with friendship.
Well, I directly got Azurill. And it's like, oh yeah, I have to evolve this with friendship, huh? It's like, mm-hmm. I didn't see a friendship stat in like any of this. Do I have to use Pokemon on me? And then I got it. It's like, oh, this is way more interesting now.
Yeah, it was an okay feature. I don't usually like the side stuff that Pokemon games introduce. So the fact that this is a Nintendog sort of thing, which has some effects, I guess it can raise your friendship. I guess it can, well, I know for a fact it can have some, like, battle effects. I don't know if you noticed those.
Yeah, they become more more ready to battle.
Yep.
Yeah. But
I noticed critical hits went up.
That's true, yeah. That happened as well. But I usually most it for Azurill and getting that evolution done, which was, in itself, was a nice way of getting it done.
Yeah, at the very least, I like that these are side features that actually tie into the gameplay.
Yeah.
Presentation. Next up. You said, mm-hmm. and I half quote, that you thought the game looked beautiful in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And we're not going to talk about the stuff that we're going to talk about in a minute, but just the art by itself. What do you think of that?
I really enjoyed it a lot. I mean, they have different styles. Like, the battles are like these fully polygonal, like Pokemon Stadium style battles.
And Pokemon Stadium is such a key word, because if you remember those games, the attacks in this game look so much like Pokemon Stadium attacks, how they're just these huge spectacles.
Yeah.
And when they faint, they do the exact same thing that Pokemon and Pokemon Stadium do when they faint, which is they have that little animation and then they fall down to the ground.
Yeah, it's super awesome. Super awesome.
Yeah, the inspiration is pretty obvious.
Yeah, definitely. And then the other thing is with, like, the overworld and, like, the inside areas, I really enjoyed viewing upon those. I mean, they don't look perfect. I mean, but I liked the chibi style of it all. I can really appreciate that. And then how the way it looks and how the world looks makes me very appreciative that we have now this system that can run this stuff way better.
Yeah. I thought that the visuals by themselves, when you don't account for 3D and 2D, and we're also not talking about battles, because the battles look amazing, I felt that the overworld visuals were the same half step from Black and White that Black and White was to the fourth generation games.
I found them better looking than Black and White. I was like,
it was obviously better looking, but it's the same half step up, I thought.
Yes, but for me, I know you find them not really exciting. I just adored the way that everything looked in the world, especially with how they make use of the camera angles and the dynamic effects.
Yeah, they also have a lot of neat touches where, for character customization, you can now choose skin color at the very beginning, and you can also change your hair and your clothing. And I was so impressed with how many clothing options there ended up being, though I did think they were a little too expensive.
I was swimming in money towards the end, so I just bought myself an entire new outfit.
Well, I was over indulging myself in revives and full restores.
Yeah, I was a bit more careful with those, but I still had a lot of money left.
Okay. So this ties into our last thing we want to say about presentation, which is the fact that the 3D and the 2D in this game is quite inconsistent. In battles, and I'm specifically talking about single battles, the battles are in full 3D, they look amazing, they're cel-shaded, they look great, okay. And in some caves, and in some interiors, when you're in the overworld, it's also in 3D, and that also looks really great. However, 90% of the time in the overworld, and in any battle that's not single battle, so that includes horde encounters, that includes double battles, that includes triple and rotation too, I would imagine. It is all in 2D.
Yeah.
And I believe Masuda said something along the lines of, we're doing this so you can appreciate the art. We're doing this because we think the 3D takes away.
I don't buy that at all.
And in my opinion, what this actually does when you have things turning on in 3D and then turning off in 3D so often is that it creates this uncomfortable inconsistency.
Yes.
And it makes the game feel half-baked, even though I'm sure it isn't.
The thing is about when you're playing this on a regular 3DS, you can notice going that light on and off. And I put this on my recording 3DS, my normal 3DS, my original aqua blue one.
Did you get a code or a copy?
A code.
Oh, okay.
So it's hard locked to that system. But I could constantly see that light turning on and off. It's like, this is really distracting. but the thing about that is like, I love the way the overworld looks. I said it in a review. I said it to you just now. But I also believe that it would look even better in 3D.
At least give us the option. I understand if you want to protect kids or you really love the art,
but
give us the option and recommend something.
He said that it was unable, that they were unable to do it in the overworld, which I find like a very shitty answer.
That sounds like the shittiest answer, Don.
Yeah, I think that's total bullshit.
Yep.
I think that's totally fine. Look at other games, how they're doing it. There's so many good examples on the 3DS out there inside North America or inside like Japanese games that were more than capable of doing this in 3D effects. I mean, even if we give a dumb example, even like the later Inazuma 11 games from level 5 are able to like do fully 3D walking environments in 3D.
Yeah, there's a way they could have done it, and I think they're doing this specifically for the children reason. Because on the back of the physical box, they make a point that there's only 3D in specific parts of the game.
Yeah, but I still believe that it's a dumb thing.
And it's so terrible because like the game looks so great in 3D.
I mean,
it would have looked great otherwise in 3D. It looks fine.
I still believe it looks great, but it looked without the inconsistencies, it would have looked even better.
Yeah,
and that's my biggest issue, really. And my second biggest issue in the presentation has to do with the Pokemon cries.
Really, I thought they did a great job of making these not sound like Game Boy sounds anymore.
I feel that they barely feel improved at all.
I think some of them, I would agree with you. Like Venusaur, it feels exactly like the Game Boy cry, but a tiny, tiny bit updated.
I feel like even the new ones are not really spectacular in any fashion. And I feel that like we are now in 2013. You had almost like so many years to evolve this series. Do something with your freaking Pokemon sound effects. You already put the attention of making all 3D models for all Pokemon. Add that additional little detail and you're completely off the hook. But no. That said though, another side of the sound spectrum, the music is fantastic though.
I love the music and you can tell it's not actually like orchestrated. But you can tell they're trying to make it really sound orchestrated. They put a lot of effort into making it.
I love, for example, like the Pokemon Center sound.
Mm-hmm.
When you like all these like these little guitar effects, they sound fantastic.
And then my favorite song in the game is, I think this is something for people to look forward to. When you get to the Elite Four, that battle music is insane.
Mm. I also like the music when you are going into a different route, like the gate area,
mm-hmm.
That music is also very soothing.
Yeah, it's they're not trying to play it all exciting anymore. Like every song, they try to make it exciting, or they would try really hard to make it fit.
Yeah,
but now it seems like the Pokemon games are experimenting with their music just a bit more.
Yeah, well, the last game for me that really did like experiment with like having fun music was like the remake of Gold and Silver on DS. And they added also like a few additional routes to that. And that the music in there was very exciting. Uh-huh. But this is like the first time since then. I was like, this music sounds extremely good. I want a soundtrack of that very soon.
All right. Well, I think we need to move into our final game-based point, and that is the Pokemon themselves.
Yeah.
And there are two points I want to make on this.
Sure.
The first is that when me and Don were talking about the Pokemon designs, we had a very interesting disagreement.
Yeah.
I thought that the designs were a step down, and Don thought that they were, at the very, very least, a step up from Pokemon Black and White.
Yeah.
And, well, tell me something about that, Don.
There were a few Pokemon in Pokemon Black and White that I personally found really offensive.
Offensive.
Yeah, like the garbage Pokemon.
But that's like, that's no worse than Muk.
It's worse than Muk. Okay. I feel like that's creatively unbounded, so such a steep low.
There is one very specific Pokemon in X and Y that is so much worse in the creativity department.
I know there is one that I really don't like in X and Y. Mm-hmm. But most of them didn't really make me feel bad in any way. Like there were a bunch of them that Black and White, I was like, I don't really feel comfortable about this or even capturing these. But for X and Y, I was like, huh, this looks like another bird. Fair enough. This is a nice fairy to Pokemon. Fair enough. So I was not like really like screaming in anger at these Pokemon. They were like more animal-like to me most of the time. Which I like. And again, if you don't like these designs, there are still plenty of older Pokemon to keep you happy because they sprinkle them more around the mix.
Yeah. I think my big problem with the designs is that I don't think too many of them were really that bad. I think that at worst, most of them were just okay, but I also think at best, most of them were just okay, which wouldn't be too much of a problem because I think there are other generations, like Generation 4, that has the same problem. But without saying anything that I'm not sure we're allowed to, there's a heavy reliance on using old Pokemon in this game,
and less reliance on
using new Pokemon.
I don't really mind that, though.
I like how they repurpose a lot of old ones. I like that I can go into the grass and find a Snubbull who I haven't like thought about in years. I like that there's a Farfetch'd that you can easily obtain so soon.
Yeah.
I think that seeing Pokemon, especially who would have been considered rare, like Mr. Mime, just casually out and about, is something that I really liked.
I personally feel that having those old Pokemon there is totally not a problem. I personally feel that as Pokemon later progressed, especially with Pokemon Black and White, I didn't feel always comfortable with using the new stuff because I didn't feel really at home with them. But having a mixture in there makes me feel way more comfortable.
Yeah, the regional Pokedex is extremely big. I won't say how many, but it's a way bigger regional Pokedex than they've ever had before.
Yeah.
And if you really want some old Pokemon like you do, Don, and that's totally fine, this game is built for you. It has all the new stuff you'd want, but if you want a team of old guys, you can get that too. Mm. Meanwhile, I'm someone who plays Pokemon for the entirely new experience. New Pokemon, new experience, new content, etc.
Yeah.
And seeing the reliance on old Pokemon was a teensy bit disheartening to me, and maybe it went a little bit into my score.
Yeah. I mean, we gave it the same score, but for me, there were different problems that weigh a little bit higher than that.
Yeah.
I personally didn't find really an issue. I like having that mixture there. And to kind of twist it in other terms, some of the Pokemon in X and Y I do really like Skiddo and Go-Goat are possibly one of my favorites, really.
Yep, I am a big fan of Litleo, and I really like its evolution too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you train those.
I have those. Yeah. But yeah, there's enough to like, really, and if you some don't like them, hey, there's still other stuff for you there.
Yeah.
But it's a personal thing, really. It's not really a wrong way or good way of looking at it. It's more of a personal thing in what you like.
Yeah, it's a difference in taste.
Yeah.
So lastly, tell me your final thoughts on Pokemon X and Y, Don.
In the end, I really liked it. I think that the story was less hokey than Black and White ever was, because it didn't stick to its merits, and for some reason it went off the hook a little bit. I feel that the subtle changes they made to the battles are very strong. I think that the game looks great. Again, I don't really like the inconsistencies in the presentation, though. I felt it was a bit of a bummer, and I felt that the gap between the first and second gym was insanely weird. But overall, I did enjoy my time with it a lot. It's like the little things that kind of annoyed me, and that made me give it an 8 in the end. And because I was debating for a long time what to give it in the end, but I feel very strongly about this 8, and I feel like the game also deserves an 8. It's still a very strong and solid game, but it has its fair share of smaller and inconsistent issues.
Yeah. As someone who also gave it an 8, I feel like it deserves an 8 in a positive way and a somewhat negative way.
Yeah.
Because it's a Pokemon game, you are getting an amazingly designed JRPG. It is still Pokemon, it is still great.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to stress that to the end of the earth.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, it could have used a tiny, tiny bit more innovation in the gameplay. I was really bugged by the inconsistencies. The reliance on old Pokemon bothered me. and the longevity, which we didn't talk about too much, and maybe it bothered you less, but the game is not as long from my perspective.
Let's, final points we can make. I know you really lengthy experiences. I said it earlier, I like them more streamlined.
I like a lot of stuff to discover, and I don't think this had that as much.
I don't really go too much out of my way to discover much things. So for me, a streamlined experience is more the way to go for me.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like more tailor-fit experience, except for like that first to second gym gap.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. So yeah, it deserves an 8 in my opinion. It's a great game. I have some problems with it. You have some problems with it. I think all of our problems are justified in at least our personal way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great game. And if you want this new Pokemon game, it's not terrible.
No.
Maybe it's one of the weaker generations, in my opinion.
For me, it's a step up from Black and White, so...
Okay, so Don thinks it's a step up from Black and White, so maybe you will too. And it's still a Pokemon game. Like, I said that a few times, but that's, like, the most I can say. I will make the final last point before we close.
That's where you have 100% less bridge porn.
There is far fewer bridges in this game. You know what? Here's the final point. You may be disappointed that we couldn't talk about the multiplayer, and I really want to talk about the multiplayer because it sounds great. It sounds like it'll add that longevity that I want.
I can tell you I've seen what all the online stuff and local multiplayer stuff entails in the manual, and so far I can tell it sounds great, but we can't talk about it.
We can't talk about it, and even worse, the point I wanted to make that I was sort of batting around is that we can't change... Our score includes what we were allowed to review.
Yeah.
And what we could review, because I don't blame Nintendo's fault for this. The online wasn't ready, and there would have been no one we could play with.
Against one another, but...
So maybe it's a better game than an 8, but the online is the big variable here that you're going to find in everyone's review score. Maybe it'll be a little higher than that after the online is considered. Maybe it'll be a little lower. I know we are working on some kind of feature for after the launch.
Maybe we should go back in 2 weeks and record another segment about what we think of the online stuff.
Yeah, there's so much room to talk about this game, and I really want to talk about the stuff.
Yeah, me too.
We can't talk about today because there's so much I want to talk about. I want to talk about these mega evolutions. I want to talk about the fairy type.
Shall we do? Stuff. Let's just state it on the podcast. Should we do a little time longer a spoiler cast?
Yeah, we'll do a spoiler cast at some point.
Sure.
And we'll probably even rope more people into this.
Yeah, sure. That sounds fun, yeah.
All right. So that is a podcast, Don. Thank you for joining me.
Yes, we made it.
Pokemon X and Y is going to be available on October 12th worldwide. It is a great game. I'm sorry if our complaints bummed you out a little. I can't wait for you to read the review.
Reviews.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
this is Neil Ranahan from NintendoWorldReport.com for this special segment of connectivity that, if the audio comes out really shitty, will probably be a bonus segment. If not, then it'll be in your regularly scheduled episode. I'm here with Justin Berube and Jared Rosenberg, and we just came from an appointment with Nintendo where we got to play a lot of the upcoming lineup for Wii U and 3DS. We're doing this on the streets of New York City, so audio might be a little crappy. But first up, we're going to talk about Super Mario 3D World. And let's start with Justin. As a big Mario fan, how did you feel about the new stuff that they announced for Mario 3D World?
I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of 3D Land on the 3DS, but 3D World really is shaping up to be the game I really think 3D Land should have been, with all the power-ups and extras and the multiplayer all jammed in. It's really like an extreme version of that game, so I'm real excited for it, more than I was before the trailer the other day.
Yeah, because I know in one level we were playing four-player. It was the three of us and then the Nintendo rep, and I got to use the new Double Cherry power-up. And for me, the level just became a frantic competition to see how many of these cherries I could get at once. I ended up with four at the end. And it just, like, it's one of those things where it's that kind of controlled chaos, whereas a game like Wonderful 101 is chaos incarnate. Super Mario 3D World is one of those games that, yeah, you could cooperate and the level could be fine, or you can just try to screw everyone over, get the Double Cherry power up, and get as many of your character on screen at once, and it's chaos, but then it's still, it's productive chaos. So, Jared, what did you think about what we saw of 3D World?
You know, everything, the levels we got to play were the same levels you saw. There's a trailer on Nintendo's website where Kit and someone else from Chris, they play the game. So basically they played the same exact levels we played. It looks fun. It is, again, a lot like 3D Land. I loved 3D Land, so I'm always game for more 3D Land. When you were saying controlled chaos, I think you're right. I still think it's a little crazy. I'm not the biggest multiplayer, like, New Super Mario Brothers fan, so it's fun, it's crazy. I might like it more single player. But yeah, it's, you know, EAD is going crazy. I'm fine with that. I'll buy it. I admit I'm still a little worried it's too much like 3D Land, but maybe I'm the last person who still feels that way.
And I know one thing that we did find out is that you can use your Pro Controllers, which is great, because we all played on Wii Remotes today, and it sucked. It's just because, you know, it's a game meant for analog control, and it's like playing Super Mario 64 DS. That's pretty much what it is. Anything else on 3D World before we move on to the next game that we saw?
I do want to say that I also, like Jared, wasn't a huge fan of the multiplayer in New Super Mario Brothers, but I think it works a lot better with the 3D space in 3D World. So I think it might be the best multiplayer traditional Mario experience in that sense that has ever come out. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, and if you want to find out more about Super Mario 3D World, check out Aaron Klutzke's impressions up on the site. He covers everything that we talked about and more. He got to see it on an appointment meant just for that, whereas we had a lot of other games. So, like, we got to check out Mario Party Island Tour, which is coming out November 22nd. We did find out that it is local multiplayer only, no online. However, it is download play, and you can basically play the entire game with three other people on one cartridge, which is kind of cool. 80 minigames. We got to play three different minigames. One was Buzz a Fuzzy, and I was the person that got to play that, and it's this kind of weird thing where there's all these fuzzies in kind of like a cube area, and then four players tilt the system around to kind of aim their shot, and then they like pull back on the circle pad as if they were launching a bow and arrow. And the thing about that is that you need to be kind of quick about it because all the other players are playing to hit the same enemies. There were a few times where, like, you know, one person would kind of clear out a row that other people were aiming for, and then they'd get less points. But that was pretty neat. And then Justin and I both got to play, I have the name, Slipknot. Not like the band, as I confirmed. Which this one just used the gyroscope controls all by themselves. And you're just all going down this kind of icy path. Each one seems slightly different, but you have the four people going at the same time, and it's kind of a race, but you also don't want to fall off. And the Nintendo rep had not seen anyone, including himself, who was playing this all day, Did not see anyone actually finish it, although he got pretty close. I thought that one was fun, but it does seem like, I don't know, that motion-controlled minigame, I'm not super high on that. How do you feel about it, Justin?
I actually liked it probably more than you from how you speak of it now. I didn't get to try the other minigames, but I thought it was a lot of fun, and it kind of made me want to try again. It had that, gave me that feeling of you almost got it, and you could do it if you just practice this a little more. So it had that challenge. It would be exciting to actually make it to the end of that.
And then there was one more minigame that we got to see that actually used the AR card, which is pretty novel, although we ran into some errors with it. The game was called Kagoomba, and what it was is that you can all use one AR card if you want to, but for the purposes of this demo, we actually had two. But it's like the same location, no matter what AR card. It basically picks it up, and you're all shooting at the same assortment of Goombas and competing to try to get the most. But then something weird happened when Justin was playing it, but I will let him describe that.
Yeah, so basically the game, I think, is really only designed to be using one AR card, so different Goombas would pop up around that, and you'd have to, like, aim your gun and shoot those Goombas, and you get points for whoever hit it. There are also gold Goombas worth three. Then there's a boss at the end. I think it was a Womp from Mario 64, but it didn't appear on my AR card or around my AR card, so I don't know if it was thinking I was a different spot on the card compared to the Nintendo rep playing with a different AR card. So I really couldn't find this boss no matter where I looked, so until I went to the Nintendo rep's AR card and was playing off that. So it's a little complicated, but I think we weren't playing it in the way it was designed to be, so it's kind of hard to judge it based on that.
Yep, yep. And Jared, you didn't play it, but you did get to film the whole thing. What are your thoughts on Mario Party Island Tour right now? Do you have any interest in it at all?
Just from seeing the, you know, filming and watching it, it looks fun. The biggest thing in my mind is still the whole AR card thing where Justin wasn't able to get it. You know, I remember just playing with the AR cards that came with the system. It always gave you the option to, like, recalibrate. But I guess because it's multiplayer, it wasn't coming up to do that. So I feel like that would have helped, too. But, yeah, it looks fun.
I would also like to add that I think I'd be a lot more excited about the game if there was an online mode. But it was confirmed to us today that there is no online multiplayer in this iteration of Mario Party.
And, I mean, for some of the games like the AR one, the AR card one that we were talking about, that had pratfalls when you had, you know, two people in the same room trying to use it. Like, I could understand maybe some minigames wouldn't go over, but it'd be nice to have some online.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you're playing online, it could eliminate some of those more specific minigames. Like, I really don't think if you're playing the actual game itself, you're going to get one of those AR card games if you're doing, like, a board game or something. But yeah, I understand what you're saying, that not every game would work online, but honestly, most of them probably would, and that should be a feature in this series that I know everybody wishes were there.
And then the next game that we saw, we got to see Wii Fit U. We learned some more about the Fit Meter. We couldn't find out if you could use multiple Fit Meters to activate, or use the same Fit Meter to activate multiple versions in the games, and all sorts of fun, weird questions that we probably are never going to actually face, but we were just curious about it, and Nintendo did not have the answers for us. We did find out that Wii Fit U is co-developed by Gonbarion. They're the guys who did Pandora's Tower, and while I can't confirm right now, because I'm in the middle of New York City and haven't been time to even write the news story, I think they also did some stuff for Wii Play Motion, but still interesting to know that after Pandora's Tower, Gonbarion went and instead of making games about girls who are vegetarians and have to eat meat, they're making Wii Fit U. The one game that we did see, though, was Puzzle Squash, which was kind of nifty. Uses the Wii Remote Plus in addition to the balance board. And basically, you're playing tennis while trying to, you know, hit the wall in kind of like a puzzle fashion where, you know, you're kind of like trying to let it all be the same color and then hit that so you get a lot of bonus points. I failed at this several times. My tennis skills for Wii Sports are not up to snuff. And the way that you would use the balance board in it was that you just kind of shuffle your feet to move your character around. But Justin went on a fucking killing spree on this game and set the second highest score on that system for the past 2 days. So, Justin, how about you talk about Puzzle Squash?
All right, so Puzzle Squash, on the back wall, you have a bunch of different colored blocks, and some of the same colors are touching each other. So if you're able to hit the ball and hit one of those blocks, all of that color disappears, and you get multiple points for each block that you eliminate, and then more fall down in its place. You do shuffle your feet along to move your character, but it's not like you have to really determine where to go. After you hit the ball, the game calculates where it's going to end up next, and you just have to shake your feet or move your weight left and right until your character moves to the next spot. You can't overdo it, so you might be able to get away with just running in place constantly, but I'm sure you'll get tired. But it's just kind of like Wii Sports Tennis, where you're just swinging it, trying to hit the ball back, and it's a lot less stressful than the tennis because no one's really returning it in a ridiculous way. You know where the ball's going every single time, so you just have to be ready and time your swings correctly, and you won't do poorly on the game.
And then, I mean, we didn't really find out anything more about Wii Fit U that we didn't already know. I mean, it's got everything from Wii Fit Plus and then some. I think 19 new activities was the number that we heard thrown around. We did find out that your stuff, your data from Wii Fit and Wii Fit Plus could transfer over to Wii Fit U, although we don't know how. We also found out that the Wii Motion Plus is only required for some of them and not all of them, but there are some minigames that you need the Wii Motion Plus for. Jared, what are your thoughts on Wii Fit U right now?
I'm excited about it. The fact that it's basically going to be $20 makes it a, you know, when you buy the, what, the Wii Fit Meter? What's it called? Yeah, just the fact that it's that simple makes it a much must purchase. I also never got Wii Fit Plus, so I'm excited. There'll be a few extra games I never played. I'm happy the woman who says, like, calibrating as you're stepping on the board is back. So, you know, that was one of the things I was most worried about not returning. So, yeah, thumbs up from me.
And that's Wii Fit U. We did have one surprise. They had Shovel Knight on the Wii U there, which I was not expecting at all. And that was awesome to play that on Wii U. It seems like it's a lot. I think it's King Knight was the enemy. It seemed really reminiscent of the kind of vertical slice that I played back at PAX East, which is before I think it was even organized into any kind of level. But I still really like the feel of that game, and we heard, you know, they're aiming for before the end of the year. And while they didn't confirm it, it seems pretty likely that I think the Wii U and 3DS version, or at least the Wii U version, will probably be ready to go when the game is done, which we were a little fuzzy on. I think the Steam version was always guaranteed to be first, but Wii U 3DS was always kind of maybe. Justin, I think this is your first time with your hands on the game. What did you think about it as someone who likes those kind of retro Mega Man games?
I'm really excited for Shovel Knight. I mean, the controls took me a minute to get adjusted to, but once I did, I found I was hopping around and getting through the game at a fairly decent pace. I'm really looking forward to this game. I love the style, and I'm really hoping it jacks up the challenge to something that makes me want to rip my hair out near the end. So you get that feeling of satisfaction when you complete the game. I mean, we won't know about that till I'm sure the game is released, but I'm really hopeful for that type of retro feel this game's giving off. So I'm excited for Shovel Knight for sure. It's day one purchase.
And Jared, how about you? What are your thoughts on the Shovel Knight as of now?
I didn't play it, but, you know, just watching it being played, you know, it looks beautiful, great pixel art, very old school gameplay. Just since you guys played it, the bounce move, was that a lot like DuckTales?
It was similar. I think you had to hold
it's
down.
Like how it is in Remastered.
Yeah, that's how it is. But I think you can actually change that in DuckTales Remastered.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, but it was like that, and I wasn't expecting that at first. I was like actually going for the DuckTales controls on NES at first because that's just what I'm used to. But once I got the new controls down, it wasn't much of a problem at all.
Awesome. And I know they said it's they're aiming for $14.99. I mean, I guess I think that's maybe been known for a while. So, but yeah, I'll buy it.
And the last thing that we saw is I know I'm really excited for Super Mario 3D World, and you know, I've had a lot of fun with Pikmin 3 and Wind Waker HD, but Wii Party U looks like the best fucking thing on Wii U. I constantly have a smile whenever I play that game, even when it's the same damn minigames that we played over and over. We played the Operation Sandbox minigame, which you probably have seen footage or at least read some impressions. If not, then see what I think Guillaume wrote back at E3. Operation Sandbox is a game where the person with the gamepad is controlling this big tank, and then everyone else has these smaller tanks, and it's, you know, us versus them. We did get to check out Punch Drunk, which was this... Punch Dunk. I did write Punch Drunk instead of Punch Dunk. But Punch Dunk is this game in which you have, I think it's, it might only be three, but I think it might be up to four. Me's running around in bathing suits on this platform that's, you know, elevated above a pool, while the person with the gamepad has control over these boxing gloves. There's one on each side. They move them around with each control stick and then hit the trigger to launch the boxing glove forward and try to knock off, to punch them and dunk them. That was a lot of fun. I mean, not overly complicated, but it was cool. I also got to play the baseball tabletop game for the first time, in which Justin and I have a score to settle at the follow-up event where Nintendo closes down the top half of the Nintendo World Store for kind of like a post-event fun. So you'll probably hear stories of Justin and I competing for the baseball game. But I really like what I've seen of that game, and it looks like you can do tournaments for most of those minigames, and I could see us getting together and doing some sort of video feature of us doing a tournament of one of these games. And it probably won't have online, but if it did, I would play the shit out of those online tournaments. I guess Justin and then Jared, what are your thoughts on Wii Party U? Are you as high on it as I am?
Probably not as excited as you, but I am excited for the game. I really think those gamepad games are my favorite part that I've seen so far. Might not be using the TV, but they're a lot of fun. It's really simple games that you can really get into with people, and I think it's going to draw a lot of people in with just that mode. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know for the tabletop things for me, they remind me of like Super Monkey Ball mini games. Like Monkey Baseball in particular is what I was thinking of with that baseball game. It's very similar in that kind of like the old tabletop baseball games where you're doing that, but it's that very like the only control that you have in that is you're using a control stick, but there's so much strategy, there's a lot of mind games, and I just really love that kind of simple competitive multiplayer that anyone can get into. But then there's like this, you almost kind of like develop this language if you get into it with friends where you all know the different tricks that everyone employs, and that's something that I've run into with a couple games like Super Monkey Ball or Sega Soccer Slam, and Wii Party U seems like it might be in that same group. So, Jared, what are your thoughts on Wii Party U?
I mean, I still feel like I haven't seen enough of it yet. The mini games look like fun, but I still want to see more of like how an actual board game party goes. Just because I feel like the original Wii Party could have done that a little better. So hopefully they've improved that.
All right, well, that's just about going to do us for this special. I don't know. Do you guys want to talk about Mario and Sonic? Well, we should talk about Mario and Sonic before we finish up. We saw some snowboarding minigame that the rep played. It looks fun, I guess. But the highlight, which we do have video of this, it's Justin playing a figure skating minigame with the Nintendo rep, which had some really ridiculous things. I guess, Justin, you can explain it.
Yeah, so basically, it's a two-player game. We're both skating as a team, and we each hold a Wii Remote Plus and have to, like, swing it in the correct direction at the specific times. But then there's times when we have to hold each other's hands. So whoever's playing as the female player has to reach out to the male player's Wii Remote and hold down the A button on their controller and just do, like, weird hand gestures together, and you end up spinning in a circle a bunch of times doing figure skating moves, and it's ridiculous and silly, and you should check out the video of me making an ass of myself in front of Nintendo reps. So enjoy that, guys.
All right, well, now that will just about do us here for the special New York edition of Connectivity, as we're on the streets playing games for you and for our own enjoyment. I guess, check us out on NintendoWorldReport.com. We'll have some video, we'll have some impressions, and stay tuned for more from Connectivity and the website, as we're going to be covering these games until they come out, and then probably afterwards, too. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Please send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and if you've got a chance, please rate and review the show on iTunes. Thanks.